Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. Today's scripture is Mark 10, 46 to 52. Oh boy, familiar story. But I am praying that it will be one that will really, really, richly and deeply bless you and impact you. This is the reading of God's Word. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Let me offer a short prayer. Lord, you have me stayed on this passage a long time, meditating, studying, but most of all, drinking from your fountain. You have blessed me greatly with your truth, and you have impacted my life through this passage. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that this truth will capture everyone who is listening to this message. May your truth be powerful, truthful, and reign over us, Lord. So speak today to us. We are here to listen and obey. In Jesus' name. A couple of days ago, a thought came into my mind, and I pondered it for a short while. The thought was a question. Who impresses me? Who impresses me? I thought, yeah, famous people don't impress me. Godly people do. Successful people don't impress me. Humble people do. Church leaders don't impress me. People who serve with Jesus' heart do. Let me ask you, who impresses you? Reading this passage, I was really impressed with this man named Bartimaeus. But of course, God and his ways are so, so much more amazing. So I pray that we will learn from his words, living truth today. Let me begin with that first verse, with the first sentence, Mark 10, 46. Just the first portion he reads, then they came to Jericho. What was this journey about? Earlier in Mark 10, 32, we were told, they were on the way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. So on the way to Jerusalem, they came and stopped at Jericho, which is about 18 miles away. Do you remember why Jericho first became famous? In Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, it reads, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites." They shut it, closed it, right? Why? Remember after the Exodus from Egypt and after the 40 years of wilderness wandering for God's people, what was the first city into the promised land that they would enter and conquer? Jericho. It was in Jericho where we meet Rahab, an immoral woman living as a prostitute. Ooh. Whom God would graciously adopt and inject her into the genealogy of the Messiah as his great-great-grandmother of King David. What a genealogy. It was the walls of Jericho that came tumbling down. You remember the story, right? What did God's people do to make the walls of Jericho, those bricks, those powerful moving things? What did God's people do? They march around the city. How many times? Not once, not twice, but 13 times. Once every day for the first 6 days. And then on the seventh day, how many times? Seven times they march. So Jericho was the beginning of living under God's promised land for God's people. And now here, in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, standing as a substitute for God's people, Jesus' departure from the promised land will be through the same city that God led his people in. And that city's name is Jericho. Our God is a God of order, for his plan synchronizes beautifully as he led his people in through Jericho, and now he exits the promised land through the same city, Jericho. See, when God's word gives us a sentence like this, it isn't in passing. There is incredible insights that he wants us to see. But let's continue. As Jesus was leaving Jericho for Jerusalem, he takes the time to meet one person. Let's return to our passage, Mark 10, verse 46 to 51. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. Right after the sentence, I was imagining, I can almost hear the excitement of Jesus' voice as he asked this question. I'll get to that later. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." Now, let's understand Bartimaeus' life a little before he experienced this life-altering encounter. His name means son of what? Timaeus. Bartimaeus. It's like those English names, remember? Johnson means son of John. Samuel's son is son of Samuel. That's how you got the names in the yesteryear. Bartimaeus. The world knew him not simply with his name, but with the description of his handicap that identified him as a blind man. He wasn't known as Bartimaeus with his name. They called him the blind man, comma, Bartimaeus. His place in society is not with the normal gathering of the large crowd, where there's excitement, where there's things happening. No. His place was to sit on the roadside alone, where the other outcasts from the society will be. A few voices he will recognize because he heard them regularly, but mostly he heard them in passing. So he had no way of knowing who was who, even though many of them probably passed by him daily within a few feet of him. The only thing people must have heard from him is him begging for help. You know, it's easier to help than to beg for help. Begging for help really destroys one's self-esteem. Begging for help usually leads to hating oneself. And for some people, it's easier to kill oneself than to beg for help. What's worse is when he laid aside all of his pride to finally ask for help, the response from the people around him was what? To rebuke him and told him to be quiet. Because to this people, his voice didn't matter. Probably expecting to be rejected and rebuked again, knowing well the possibility of being disappointed again, yet somehow, he's going to cling unto Jesus as if his life depended on it. So he brushes his disappointment aside and musters the courage to shout all the more, Scripture says, Son of David, have mercy on me. He shouted when everybody told him to be quiet. I can imagine about this time Bartimaeus' heart pleading, Please, Jesus, don't be like these people. They only pass me by. They don't ever stop to listen to me. And when they speak, they're always rebuking me. Please, Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm hopelessly lost without you and your mercy. So please help me. Help me, please. That's how I describe the heart of Bartimaeus at this time. Oh, what a life blind Bartimaeus had to live, sitting by the roadside, hearing everyone passing by, and the only thing he could offer was, please, help me. Life can really look dark, very dark, when life is unfair, when life is really, really hard. What is a person to do? Though Bartimaeus was living in the promised land, remember, this is the promised land, yet he was living as someone who has never experienced God's promise, God's blessings. What irony. How difficult his life must be. How low must his self-esteem be. How inept and empty must have other people looked at him. That's the life of Bartimaeus before. Hear me? That's the life of Bartimaeus before he met Jesus. So let's now go see how Jesus meets Bartimaeus. Let me reread our passage again. Mark 10, verse 46, all the way toward the end of our passage, verse 52. When they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Oh, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, where did he get this courage? He began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, Call him. So they called to the blind man, Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Through that passage, I want us to meet the light, the giver of life from our passage. And so here, come with me, okay? Come hungry to be fed. We're first told that Jesus was marching to Jerusalem, right? Remember Mark 10:32 in the previous passage? What did it mean? What did it mean that Jesus was going to Jerusalem. See, numerous times we're told that Jerusalem for Jesus will be the place and time that he will be delivered over to the Jews. What does that mean? It means the Jewish leaders are going to kill him. Now, when someone unavoidably is marching to one's death, oh boy, it's a fixed focus, isn't it? It's a singular focus. There's very little to sidetrack him, usually. Yet here, Jesus turned his sight away from Jerusalem for just a moment because he wanted to meet Bartimaeus, who was sitting by the roadside, forsaken and abandoned by everyone in Jericho. We know in life, hardly anybody wants to hear from a nobody, right? And as Bartimaeus tries to speak, many people around him rebuked him to be quiet. And this is what impressed me about Bartimaeus. When everyone around you tells you to be quiet, when told no one wants to hear from you, that usually shames us into silence. But for Bartimaeus, he shouted even louder. Sure, he was probably expecting a backlash of harsher rebuke for his insolence, but this was no time for him to be submissive to the wishes of others. It was time to either shout or die. He was either going to get Jesus' attention or die trying. Desperate hearts are fearless hearts, aren't they? I was pondering how his heart got to this point. My guess is somehow in the midst of this darkness, he must have overheard from the people passing by him that this Jesus of Nazareth could do miracles. Now, wait. From childhood, as a good Jewish boy, he would have learned that the Son of David would be coming from Bethlehem, not from Nazareth. How do they reconcile here? Not really sure. But this one thing he knew, he needed to meet Jesus who could do miracles. So he shouted. Secondly then, did you see when, this is important, when Jesus stopped to speak to this blind man whom everybody wanted to silence and ignore? If you have your Bible, you will see Jesus stopped in verse 49. Verse 49. Only after Bartimaeus was already shut down by the people once, and yet somehow he musters the courage to be even louder and go against the wishes of everyone around him. He didn't follow the words of the people near him. He wanted Jesus more than anything, and if he had to go against everyone, then that he will do. So he shouted all the more, we are told, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You know, many of us are afraid to offend the people around us. So what do? We usually submit to the wishes of others. We usually just step aside, but not Bartimaeus. You know, there's no doubt Jesus heard him the first time Bartimaeus called him in verse 47. Because our God hears even the softest whispers we utter, but patiently and lovingly. Jesus said nothing when his child Bartimaeus was getting rebuked, discouraged, criticized, told him to be quiet, and I don't think in such nice terms, right? They would have probably told him, shut up. And yet, when Everybody was pouring on him. Verse 47, right? Jesus remained quiet. Jesus said nothing. Instead, Jesus permitted the people to rebuke and discourage Bartimaeus from pursuing him any further. Did you see here? Jesus permitted the roadblock to this blind man. But it wasn't because Jesus didn't want to hear him. It wasn't because Jesus did not love him. It wasn't because Jesus wanted him to fall, to be discouraged. Rather, dear people of God, listen to me. Sometimes Jesus allows you to go through the troubles, you to go through the discouragement. He allows, permits you to go through those pain. Why? Not because he doesn't love you. Not because he can't hear you. Not because he doesn't care for you. Just like with Bartimaeus and with us, it was to help him see Jesus is truly where he must learn to lean alone. See, to bless this man, to build his faith in Jesus alone, he remained quiet, silent. Jesus remained silent when the people around Bartimaeus were rebuking him, discouraging him, trying to stop him from pursuing Jesus any further. Friends, let me ask you, when you see roadblocks, do we see that as a sign to stop? Or could it be that God wants us to seek him more and continue our pursuit of him despite the obstacles in the way? But as we can see, though in verse 47 he remains quiet, silent, now in verse 49, Jesus stopped his march. Verse 49, Jesus stopped his march. Despite what awaited Jesus in Jerusalem, despite the weight of all the sins of his people, despite the pain that he will suffer as the Father will soon forsake him, Jesus stopped his march to Jerusalem. Why? So that he could meet and listen and answer and heal a poor blind man rejected by everyone around him. I can't tell you how amazed, how moved, how grateful I feel to see Jesus stop his march here to Jerusalem in verse 49. I love, 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 love the need the Jesus I meet in verse 49. He is so caring. He is amazing. To stop his march to Jerusalem. Even though he was going to save all the people, yet all the people needed to wait a little because he wanted to save and heal this one. He stopped. Those two words moves me so powerfully. It moves me to tears. Jesus stopped his march. Verse 49. I could dance around that verse all day. Dear brothers and sisters, do you at times have trouble thinking that our God will not stop for you, to listen to you, to answer you, and to heal you? Pay attention here, please. How you read God's word here makes all the difference. How you read God's word makes all the difference. Let me give you the two ways we can read. And I hope and I pray it's the second for you. The first way many people read God's word is a wonderful story. Maybe even a wonderful teaching. And if that's the case, what do? Then we pause there a while, appreciate it, and say, nice, and we move on. Is that how you read God's word? However, if you read God's word, as the living word of God for his people, which means for you, then you realize that God is speaking not only to Bartimaeus here. Who is he speaking to in this passage? Did you know? I am Bartimaeus. Juan, you are Bartimaeus. Richard, you are Bartimaeus. Each of you are Bartimaeus here. He is speaking to you. Our God is present and alive. Oh my goodness, this isn't a story of yesteryear. This isn't a movie highlighting the beauty of Jesus. This is God coming to you, speaking to you, Bartimaeus. So, brothers and sisters, please, just as Jesus stopped for Bartimaeus, Jesus will stop for us, to listen to us, to answer us, to heal us, and to be our Savior and Lord. Our job is to call on him. That's our job, is to call on him, no matter what everyone around us says. That's why, Helen, your two brothers who are not in the Lord, there's hope. They can't change their heart. But if we call to the Lord like Bartimaeus, if God, Jesus calls them, two brothers will break their hearts and will come to know the Lord. Oh, this passage gave me so much hope, especially praying for I have family members who are not in the Lord, and when I pray for your family members who are not in the Lord, this passage gives me so much power and hope. Truth prevails. But this passage gives us so much more. So let me continue. I'll send you my notes and hopefully you can read it slowly and meditate through. Because of Jesus, did you notice? Ooh, this is good. Did you notice? The people around Bartimaeus now sang a different tune. They no longer rebuked him as they once had, but now listen to how they are encouraging him. Again, Mark 10:49. Remember, previous verse, verse 48, they were rebuking him, telling him, be quiet. Right? Silencio. That's what they were telling him. And now what did they say? This is the people talking who once told the man, be quiet. Now what do they say? Cheer up, Mark 10:49. Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Ooh, la la. Sorry, I get excited when I see things like this. When the people hear and see Jesus' gracious response to this undeserving blind man, so too the voices and actions of the people turn gracious, just as Jesus showed them how to be gracious. They saw graciousness in Jesus. That's what they learned to grow into. People, do you see? Jesus' growth, Jesus' grace does not only change Bartimaeus, but the people there also. For there were also covered with Jesus' graciousness, and they now spoke with grace and offered encouragement to cheer up, to stand up and to go to Jesus. Yes, now, before they told him, be quiet, nobody wants to hear you. Now they say, go to Jesus. That was the word to the blind man. Fourthly now, encouraged and strengthened by the grace of the people, the blind man accustomed to just sit by the roadside, now he does something incredible. He does something he has never, ever, ever done in his life. What is that? Mark 10:50. It's okay for you to also express a few smiles. Because when your pastor gets excited, he wants you to also get excited. But don't be forced into a smile. Okay, Mark 10:50. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Did you see what just happened? This man threw his cloak that had covered him all his life. The dirty, smelly cloak that was not going to cover him anymore, because he was now going to be covered with Christ from now on. He was going to stink and be smelly. Jesus was his friend. He didn't just stand. He jumped to his feet. You know, being blind, he had to always be careful, not knowing what's in front of him or above him or around him. It's probably safe to say he never jumped before. But that didn't stop him from doing something completely new to him, did it? What did he do? He jumped. He could not have jumped very high, but the few inches off the ground must have been exhilarating. It must have felt for him as if he flew. The word of God is clear. He didn't just stand. He jumped. Oh, I love that expression. Now, one more thought on that. Now, how far away was Jesus standing from him? Usually I want Jesus to be very, very, very near. But in this instance, because the Bible doesn't say, I'm merely guessing. What should I say? I am hoping that Jesus was a little further away. Because it meant then he needed to jump and run to where Jesus was. You see, I can't picture here Bartimaeus walking very slowly and timidly to where Jesus was. No. I can see him jumping and dancing to come to Jesus. I can also picture his eyes wet with tears of joy and gratitude and love, all the while jumping and dancing towards Jesus. I can feel his heart exploding with love, overwhelmed with joy, hot tears streaming down his face. Now, as the people now made way for him to go and meet Jesus. What an incredible picture scenario unfolding before us, isn't it? One more about this encounter. When he came to Jesus, again, I fell in love with the next verse. Jesus knew what he needed. Right? Jesus is the omniscient God who knows everything about us. So when he came to Jesus, Jesus clearly, perfectly, completely knew what he needed. But this is the but that is so beautiful. But Jesus gave him an opportunity to share his thoughts. Why? Because Jesus was going to listen to him. Now let me take you. Mark 10:51. The question blows me away, touches the very heart and soul of my being. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. People who are critical, who are merely just objective, who simply wants the facts, they will think this is not only a redundant question, but a stupid question, an unnecessary question. Jesus already knows, so why is he asking? And even if he didn't know, logic says the guy is blind. You don't need a high IQ to know that. So Jesus asking this unnecessary, seemingly, question can sound extremely dumb, but me, I found this question. Here I felt the love of Jesus, his amazing, gracious wisdom. Can't tell you how much I love this verse. You see, let me explain why. To have someone ask him a question, because this person was really interested in wanting to listen to him, and probably for the first time in his life. I remember during my very, very cave days, dark days, 6 years I walked through the darkness. And what was most disappointing about my closest of friends and my family, nobody once came and asked me, "How are you, Josh?" and sat there to listen. Many pastors came and talked to me about ministry, about other things, many things we talked about. But nobody came over and said, "Josh, how are you?" and sat there to listen. And if they asked, it was only in passing, like a greeting. So I didn't dare to open up. I know the pain of people not listening, and maybe I have done the same to others, and if I have done it to you, my sincerest and humblest apology. That is so ugly, foolish of me. I want to learn from Jesus. He comes to him and asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I am betting my life. For the first time, this man felt confident somebody was going to lovingly listen to him. Somebody was going to pay attention to what he said. Somebody cared what he was going to say. His words had no meaning. Nobody, he wasn't going to tell him to be quiet. He was going to tell him, "Tell me more. What do you want me to do for you?" And he was none other than the Son of David, the King himself, who came asking, who sat, who listened. Obviously, he answered in Mark 10, 51, the blind man said, "I want to see Jesus." But he gave him the opportunity to say what was deep in his heart. I turned that question to me. Perhaps at home you can do it for yourself. I ask, if Jesus were to come to me and ask me, "What do you want me to do for you?" What would be my answer? What would be your answer? Let me share with you a few of my answers. The first thing I would say is, "I want to see you more. I want to see more of you, Jesus. I want to really, really see Jesus." Then I'll say, "I want to see the world through your eyes, Jesus. Because my perspective is so skewed, it's so imperfect, it's so biased, it's so small. That's why I'm so critical of people, politicians, and others. I want to see the world through Jesus' eyes. I want to see and serve the people with Jesus' heart. Too often I love to serve people whom I like and don't always enjoy serving the people I don't like. That's just not right. That's not Jesus' heart. I want the people I know to meet Jesus, and I want them to be saved. I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about some of your family. When I pray for them, that's what I want most. When I pray for your children, for the little ones, I don't pray for them to become amazing people in the world. I pray for them to meet Jesus, to be saved from their sin. I want our nation and our leaders to meet Jesus. So to me, whether it be Kamala or Trump, if one of them meets Jesus, That will be my prayer answer, and I'll be so delighted. But if neither meets Jesus, neither are very good either. I want our leaders to meet Jesus, and I now want our nation, our people to meet Jesus. So I have this final prayer. I want God's people, God's church, our church and all God's churches to pray for God's glory, to repent of our sins, to love Jesus and to love each other with Jesus' love. To me, too often, our fellowship is about you and me connecting. It's not about sharing the love of Jesus. Too often, our worship and the teaching of God's word is about learning insights for your betterment. It's not about meeting Jesus and humbling down and repenting of our sins. Too often, it's always about me. Wrestling with this passage, hearing that question to Bartimaeus, I asked for me. And those were my answers. Because I know there is no greater blessing than to see our little one, our old one, everyone, to meet Jesus, because there's no other hope. Now let me close this message, but as I do that, let me briefly highlight, very briefly, three ways of Bartimaeus that I think will be so wonderful for us to learn. First, let's learn Bartimaeus' shouting prayer, I call it, shouting prayer. Mark 10, 47, 48, he says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. At home, when you read this, please shout. Here I won't, because of the microphone. Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, the more the people discourage him from shouting to Jesus, from praying to Jesus, the louder he prayed and sought Jesus. Let's learn to pray like this. The greater the roadblock, the louder we will shout for Jesus, because we know, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Will you join us today, if you are able? Join us for after our fellowship time. We're going to gather. Even if there's two of us or 20 of us, we're going to gather and pray. And we're going to pray today in a different style, popcorn style prayer. It's a beautiful way to just simultaneously, and I'm I'll lead you through that. But I think this is so necessary. Shouting prayer I learned from Bartimaeus too. Let's understand what true faith looks like through Bartimaeus. Mark 10, 52. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight. Let's remind ourselves again about faith. Faith is not like a wishful thinking, believing what I want to become true. That's not faith. Wishful thinking, not faith. True faith in God is placing our faith in the object of our faith. And as we can see here through Bartimaeus, he placed his faith in Jesus to heal him. You see, he didn't want just healing. He placed his faith in Jesus for Jesus to heal him. You understand? When we pray for healing, we're not praying just healing. Separate, as if it was a thing. Jesus heals, so we pray to Jesus to heal us. That's true faith, the object of our faith. And thirdly, after seeing Jesus, this once blind man now loves the Lord. So all he wants to do is to follow Jesus along the road, even though the road leads to Jerusalem. Remember where Jesus was going. He was going to Calvary. Calvary and Golgotha means the same thing. What is that? The place of the skull. In other words, Jesus was going to die, and this man was going to follow him to his death. But the sight, the love, the experience he had with Jesus was so captivating that he would rather follow Jesus wherever he goes, even to Calvary. Can I say it like this? to see Jesus is to love to follow Jesus. No, not because we must, not out of responsibility, not because he commanded, not because that's the last commission. No. We follow Jesus, not because we must, but because it is our pleasure, love to follow Jesus. That's what I see in Bartimaeus. My prayer for all of us preaching this verse, may you see and taste the beauty of Jesus, so much so. Nobody else needs to convince you anymore because you are in love with him. And the first and the greatest thing and the last thing you ever want to do is to love, to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Father, your words is alive. Your ways is so amazing. Lord, because we hear your words in a book, sometimes we treat it like a storybook. With our lips, we might say the Bible is God's word. But in our hearts, Lord, it doesn't explode with excitement. It doesn't cut like a knife. It doesn't crush like a hammer. Your word is alive, the word of the living Almighty. So Lord, thank you for this incredible story and example of Bartimaeus. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us and giving us. For life is through him, even in us. And just as Bartimaeus now loved to follow Jesus all the way to Jerusalem and Calvary, may our love is to follow you more than anything. For anyone, including our own other wishes. We thank you so much and we pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name.